Now we're going to reflect on the readings. You see, Christ the King means as well Christ the Ultimate. And so the first reading is from the book of Daniel in this B cycle. And then the second reading is from the book of Revelation. And the third reading is the discussion of Jesus' kingship with Pilate. Very, very interesting, because there, as you will see, the kingship is truth. The kingdom is truth. So what is truth? And Pilate asks the question and doesn't wait for an answer, evidently. Though he's looking at it. He's looking at the truth. So, this first text, Book of Daniel. Book of Daniel is a fascinating book in every sense of the term. It's probably written about 160 B.C., very much influenced by the power, particularly of the kingdom in Syria, but also the one in the south in Egypt. And it's written in a style. It's talking about, it places the author back some time, and then he predicts, but the author, the actual author, is further on and is really recounting. But then there comes a point when the text starts to prophesy, when the text begins to talk about the culmination of history. Apocalyptic has this in mind. The word just means revelation, but revealing the direction and the culmination of world history. And the apocalyptic book in the Bible is the book of Daniel. Then there is, of course, the apocalyptic discourse of Jesus himself, recounted in slightly different ways in all the three synoptics. But in the cycle B, we take first this text from Daniel. So I'm going to read some background of this because I think it will help. He's called in this translation the Ancient of Days. Well, I was looking, another horn sprang up, and then as I watched, thrones were set in place. And the Ancient of Days, translated here, one of great age. His robe was white as snow, his hair as pure as wool. His throne was a blaze of flames. Its wheels were a burning fire. A stream of fire poured out, issuing from his presence. 1,000 thousands waited on him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. A court was held, and the books were opened. And then, the text, or this translation, the great things, the horn, who had been opposed to this Ancient of Days, were still ringing in my ears. And as I watched, the beast was killed. And now he's starting to talk about eschatological moment, you see. And then the other beasts, these are figures of evil, sometimes characterizations of empires, just as the lion stands for England, and a man with a tall hat stands for the U.S., and the bear stands for Russia. They had the same idea back there. But then the text goes on and says, as the visions during the night continued, one like a son of man. Anini shemayim kavod. This is Aramaic, not Hebrew. Kabarinosh, one like a son of man. What does that mean? One like a son of man. It means quintessential man, but existing in someone. This is a vision, okay? And when he reached the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, the one like a son of man, this human, received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingdom shall not be destroyed. Now, who is this Son of Man? Well, very interestingly, later on, it turns out that in one way, they are the saints of the Most High God. But in another way, it's a human figure who is going to be given the rule over the whole universe, the whole world. And so that's what this vision is. Someone like a son of man, quintessential man, the child. We don't speak this way, but if you can remember, during one of those wars over there, one of the rulers said, "This is the mother of all battles." Everybody knew what he meant. This is the one that spawns all other battles from the beginning of history. It wasn't, but that's rhetorical. We don't talk like this, but you see, he's the son of man. He's the quintessential man, but he is a someone. And so, you see, one like a son of man received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. Now, think, how many times in the Gospels does our Lord refer to himself as the Son of Man? The quintessential man, the child of humankind. And at the same time, this mysterious figure who will receive all nations, peoples, languages. He will have universal dominion. That is Christ the King. And so, that's why he calls himself the Bar Enosh, the Son of Man. And he's clearly referring to this and scattered other incidents. You know what this is like? I don't know whether you did this, but in high school, we were given a beaker that had water in it and something held in solution in the water, some chemical. Then we took a string and dipped it in another chemical and put that string in this beaker. Immediately, all those crystals crystallized out around the string. And what they looked like were the composition and the shape of the combination of these two elements, the ones held in solution and the one inserted. When Jesus begins to speak of the Son of Man, all of the Old Testament predictions, reflections, expectations of the Son of Man crystallize out. He is the Son of Man. But he's the Son of Man. He's the very child of humankind. He's the first fruits. Why? Because in the depth of his person, he is divine. So it's humankind being centralized, made into one by a divine person. The personhood of this Son of Man is divine, and yet he is the child of man. Thus, all the passion predictions, the Son of Man will be betrayed, he will be arrested, he will be tortured, he's the Son of Man, the Son of Man. Birds of the air have nests, you know, and animals have their holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I am the Son of Man. I am the most human of anyone who ever lived, whoever will live. I am the Son of Man. But I'm also the child of man in the sense that humankind in me produces a Savior, by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary, so that at the very depth of the existence of this man, there is God Himself. That's why He is the Son of Man. And so, as we'll see when we go on, but this text, you see, this one comes, and later on, the text says that, you see, these are really the saints of the Most High God, you see. And so that's what happens is that the Son of Man becomes the saints of the Most High God. Or, if you will, the body of Christ. All humanity who wishes it, gathered around and joined, being physically united with the Son of Man made man, with His divine human being who is the Son of Man, who by His death and resurrection and through His giving us the gift of baptism and the action of the Holy Spirit, we become one physical entity. That's why Paul speaks of us as the body of Christ. And so, this mysterious figure, see, I saw this one. You see, He's like a Son of Man. He's coming on the clouds of heaven. This is humankind, but distilled. He reaches the Ancient of Days and was presented before Him. That's God the Father. The one like a Son of Man received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve Him. And His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. Why? Because He's risen from the dead. And in Him, divine authority resides humanly. And so He is the Son of Man. That's why the psalm that we sing in response to that very mysterious reading, you see, is the Lord is King, Adonai Malak, in splendor robed. Robed is the Lord and girt about with strength. The Lord is King, Adonai Malak. The Lord, or the Kyrios, you see, because who is Kyrios? Gave Him the name above every name. What is the name above every name? Kyrios. He gave Him the name. He didn't lend it to Him. He revealed that He is Kyrios. He, who, you see, though He was by nature, you know, in the form of God, didn't consider being equal to God a thing to be clung to, but rather He emptied Himself, humbling Himself, and taking on the form of a man and being formed in the form of a slave and being looking like man, and that was not enough. He became obedient unto death, death on a cross. And therefore God exalted Him, and that's what we see, the Son of Man coming now to receive glory, honor, praise, and to not receive, but have manifested that from eternity He is Adonai. He's given the name which is above every name. And what is the name above every name? Yahweh. Adonai. Lord. It's not, nobody can receive the name. It can only be revealed that He always bore that name. That's our King.